call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You know, because Elliot Smith sounds so happy. He doesn't sound depressed at all. He sounds very chipper and perky. Jesus. Well, what kind of guy kills himself by stabbing himself, man? Shows a little bit of...
Someone who doesn't own a gun?
He couldn't get to Niagara Falls.
That's a terrible thing to say. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Well, life is for the living. You got to move on. All right. So the Rick Emerson Show, we're here. It's Wednesday. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom. Coming up this hour, we got a penis watch. Take a look at TV tonight. We got Jolie from the front desk later on with How Chicks Think. She has a question today about them. Some sort of question about virginity. We're going to get to that. Coming up later on in the show. Oh, we'll read more, by the way, out of the White Trash Cookbook. Brought to us here, dropped off by listener Uncle Steve, who we dig a great deal. So thank you for that. Also, top five songs from this day 25 years ago. Top five songs from today in 1978, the day that Pope John Paul II was stuck into office, where he then withered like kudzu in a freaking microwave. So we'll get that later on. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. A couple people emailed about it. It's the Dry County Crooks who do that cover, the snuff watch. In fact, do you have that? Do you have that Dry County Crooks snuff watch?
Give me a second. I just got to recue.
Let's play that one more time. It's our good friends in the Dry County Crooks. You can find out more about them at drycountycrooks.com. Listen to how great this is. You know what sells it is this pause they take at the end, this where they hold right there. It's that hold that sells the entire thing. Dare I say it, that's even better than the original. I think that might actually exceed the Jim Carroll version. I'm just saying. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Here's the reason you tuned in. It's Jim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Highway crews are clearing flood debris from roads and checking bridges in Washington. Now, here's the latest situation there. SR-20 in Skagit and Okanagan counties. From New Helen to Early Winters Campground, the highways flow due to multiple rock slides. Then at US 101 in Mason County at Purdy Canyon, the highway is reduced to single-lane alternative traffic. Flaggers are assisting motorists or slowing them down. Then at US 101 in Jefferson County at Doe's Wallops River, some of these places should just be washed away.
I was just going to say, it's like we're living in a bad episode of Green Acres or something.
Yeah, but they have storm damage to the old bridge in that neck of the woods, so be careful.
Down by that old boy with the fruit stand that sells things by the Jenkins barn.
Yep, so plenty of troubles up there today. We'll keep you posted on that, because we're the new spirit of the Northwest. Well, this is the end of the line for this season's newlyweds. Who can forget Jessica Simpson's musings over a can of tuna fish?
Is this chicken what I have, or is this fish? I know it's tuna, but it says chicken by the sea. Is that stupid?
Well, I don't know. Let's take a vote.
I don't know. Oh.
Yes? I'm sorry, Tim just had the blankest of looks on his face.
Cal reading the dictionary.
Save. Got the full-on Homer Simpson blink there.
Here's another gem from the show.
No, 23 is old. It's almost 25, which is almost mid-20s.
Oh, God. I mean...
That was just on last week.
I hadn't heard that one before. You know, but the thing is, you can tell, though, that the guys who produced this show... You know this for a fact. You know that somebody is going to start scripting this stuff for her because they've identified the gimmick that keeps the people watching the show.
Well, that was what happened to the Anna Nicole Smith show, and that it just turned to crap.
What do you mean?
Well, because for the first season, you know, she was insane and it was funny. And the second season, they decided to make it more more slapstick. And
scripted,
they started,
insanity.
Yeah, exactly. And they started writing scripts for her, and it was just retarded.
See, I suspect that's kind of the same thing they started doing with the Osbournes, too. It's with all that. You know, it's like the real world is notorious for that. The real world producers are, they're just infamous for doing things or leaving things around the apartment that they know are going to cause trouble. The forging notes or leaving incriminating looking evidence around that, you know, to spark conversations or arguments among the cast members. I mean, it's well known that they do all of that stuff. So, I mean, next logical step is to start scripting, especially because that's why everybody watches the show. You think about it, I'd never even heard of Newlyweds. I mean, Laura watched it, but I'd never seen it. I mean, I'd never, you know, I saw it on the TiVo, but I never viewed it. I didn't start watching it until, I mean, I'm still like a big fan or anything, but I mean, if I've watched it, it's because she's been in the news for just being dumb as a box of goddamn hammers. So, I mean, they've obviously figured out that that is, that's the side of their bread that they've got the butter on. And so they're gonna start playing that up at every opportunity. Gonna be 25 and that's almost mid-20s. The thing is though, it's like, you know, it's like Penny Lane says, you know, sometimes the truth just sounds different and you can tell when someone is just legitimately freaking stupid. I mean, it just sort of has the ring of absolute truth to it when somebody opens their mouth and what comes out is just hot gas or the most vacuous kind. And you can tell that Jessica Simpson, and you see those, you know, her flacks were on the news saying, well, Jessica's not really like that. That's just one aspect of her personality that comes out on camera and she's not really that stupid. Of course, we all know that she really is that stupid. In fact, the truth is she's probably even dumber than that. But that editing is able to come up some of, you know, cover up some of the her more blatantly retarded episodes. But I think we all know that Jessica Simpson is in fact just deeply, deeply, deeply stupid.
I think we can all agree. A bizarre new cartoon fantasy premieres tonight at Comedy Central. Get a good Reddit from Carla the Paper.
Oh, too. This is Kid Notorious?
Kid Notorious.
Yeah.
A new cartoon starring Robert Evans. It premieres tonight. Here's a clip.
It was ever since Charlie's Angels, I've wanted to get a how do you do from Lucy Liu.
I'm not Lucy Liu.
Yeah, but you're every bit as beautiful as Lucy Liu. Ba Yu Bing, I Rang, I Shishien.
Ah, Evans, you so sweet.
Yeah, sweet and sour, baby. Plus, I can say you took my breath away in 67 languages. Damn it, except for Dutch.
Now, if you don't know who Robert Evans is, he's the guy that they made, the kid stays in the picture, both the book and the movie about him. And that's going to premiere tonight after South Park. Also featuring the voice of Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Evans talks about what he likes and dislikes in movies.
I like to make pictures the way how it feels, not where it's at. I don't believe in mechanical pictures or aliens coming out of people's stomachs.
Let's see what else is on tonight. The West Wing is on. Is this a new one?
Let's talk about the West Wing for a second.
Is it actually on? Because there's baseball on tonight.
They lied last
week,
didn't
they? Bunch of jackals. Yeah, I was, you know, so there's me sitting there last week, sitting there, settled down on the sofa about 11 o'clock, you know, and I got the bowl of gruel in one hand and the remote control in the other. Go to watch the West Wing, and instead there's Vincent D'Onofrio, you know, inspecting somebody who's been run over by a bus or whatever. And, you know, and it was, because it was what, Special Victims, SUCS, whatever the hell that
show is. Law and Order Criminal Intent is the one with Vincent D'Onofrio. But they did it because they don't want to put it on against the World Series. They don't want to put it on against a live baseball game.
They didn't want to put the West Wing up against that?
Right.
What does it say about Law and Order Criminal Intent? That they're like, sacrifice that show.
Well, but it's not. That was an old one of Criminal Intent because their normal night is like Friday night or Sunday night or something.
I don't think I'm going out on much of a limb here to say that probably the majority of the West Wing audience could give you know, two flying F's about some guys hitting a ball with a stick. I mean, maybe there's a lot more you know what? Maybe there's a lot of KOTK listeners that really like the Mariners do, but I'm willing to bet that that's not the case. I'm just saying. I'm not saying those people don't exist. I'm saying that I think they are a necessarily finite number of people.
It's just precaution because they don't want to get their numbers hurt by trying to put it up against the, you know, the World Series. The same thing that happens every year around the NBA Finals. The networks all compensate for what's going on the other network.
So in any event, the West Wing's going to be on tonight. It's the episode that was supposed to air last week.
Is it going to be, though? Because there's a World Series game tonight. Is it going to air, or are they going to bump it again?
I don't know. Okay, I wonder if we can call somebody at NBC about that. Do we know anybody that works at KGW?
I think it's a lady who works in promotions. She's got it nice. Why don't you call her up? I don't know what her name is.
All right, we'll find out. Because I don't want to waste another hour of my life, you know, sitting there. You know, I guess I wouldn't waste an hour. I guess I just don't want to be annoyed again by having it bumped 2 weeks in a row. Especially because tonight's West Wing is the first, you know, it's the first kind of one that's completely free of any sort of Sorkin influence. So I'm curious to see how that turns out.
And then Beetlejuice is on tonight. As is Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger from 1987.
Predator. Beetlejuice. So you can either watch Predator with Jesse Ventura or you can watch Beetlejuice, which was originally written for Sam Kinison, who then, of course, died and was unable to do it.
And Ed Wood's on tonight.
Ed Wood, one of the finest movies ever made. Let me just talk about Ed Wood for a second. I watched Ed Wood this weekend. The greatest, it is the definitive Tim Burton film. I mean, people can say all they want about the Edward Scissorhands, great movie. The upcoming, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But Ed Wood is the definitive, hands down. It is the defining film of Tim Burton's career. It is also, not surprisingly, the lowest grossing movie he ever made. It's the first Tim Burton film not to make money at the box office. It lost money. But it is a great film. It's got one of the most amazing performances of Johnny Depp's career. It's got Sarah Jessica Parker, Martin Landau, Academy Award winning performance there. I mean, it's Bill Murray. I mean, you just got to, if you haven't seen Ed Wood, you really, if you're a movie fan especially, you owe it to yourself to watch Ed Wood. It's just a fantastic movie, top to bottom.
Well, Jada Plinkett Smith returns in The Matrix Revolutions as Niobe, a commander in an army fighting the machines to save Zion. Jada talks about preparing to drive a spacecraft and how to make it look real.
You know, I went through the whole, like, you know, with all the buttons and everything, and trying to figure out, okay, I wanted to really get to know the operation of these ships so that I could feel like I was home, you know, because Niobe has to feel very comfortable in the ship. So I definitely took some time to figure out, okay, and what's this button and what's this over here?
You know, the Matrix movies are essentially standing in front of a green screen and mouthing dialogue given to you by the Wachowski brothers. And I really know that learning your character's motivation is necessarily something that's an integral part of the process.
You know, it's funny you should bring that up because I asked Jada next, what is the challenge of acting in front of a green screen?
We were in front of a green screen. That's it. That's what I was looking at. And, you know, listening to Larry and Andy below. Turn to the left, turn to the right. Okay, now you've got a sentinel in front of you. Oh, crap. Okay, and, you know, so that's when the real acting kicks in.
Yeah, okay.
So The Matrix Revolution opens November 5th.
I haven't even seen a trailer for it yet, because the trailers are... Right?
I have
does it
too.
Look good?
Yeah, well, yeah, it actually does.
I had such mixed feelings about the second one.
See,
I
did you?
I
do you
did.
Have to? Do you think that you have to watch the second one to watch the third one? Because I have a desire to see the third one, but the second one just looked like crap.
Well, as I understand,
you've got to see it.
As I understand it, the first Matrix is a standalone film, but the second two is kind of like a Kill Bill thing. The second two are one story. Towards
the end of the second one, there's too much in the whole kind of like plot device that gets revealed. That if you haven't seen it. There's stuff in the third that's going to tie into it you won't get.
I won't give away any spoilers, but I will say there's a sequence with the Oracle, which is really good. And at the end of the second one, Neo has a conversation with somebody that's very compelling. That's good stuff. But, I mean, there's a few scenes, and I thought it was...
Didn't you say
yesterday.
There was a rave scene in it?
Yeah, there's a couple scenes. You can tell that the first one made so much money that Warner's just said, well, you can do whatever you want. You can have Final Cut, which is always the worst thing to do. Because when you have nobody there, when you don't have any objective voice off to the side telling you to take something out, you just end in... it's like, you know, it's a perfect example. Let's talk about it. I can... You know what it is? The Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions, they're exactly like my one-man show, Bigger Than Jesus. There's no difference. They're exactly the same thing. One equates entirely and completely and perfectly to the other. But when I first, you know, I did the Bigger Than Jesus, one-man show I did a few months ago at the Clinton Street. And I was telling Rob from the House of Rick about this because he came to see it and he was very complimentary about it, seemed to enjoy it a lot. And I was telling him, though, that when I, you know, for those of you that saw my one-man show, it was about... The one-man show I did ended up being like 113 pages. The script was like 113 pages long. And the first draft of Bigger Than Jesus that I turned in to Joni DeRoshi, who was the director, was like 300 pages. I mean, the first draft of Bigger Than Jesus was like 4.5 hours long. And if I could have, I would have done the entire 4.5 hours. If I had not had her over me with a pair of shears cutting that stuff away, you all would have been there all night. We would have had like 9 intermissions because there's all this stuff that is, as the creator, as the guy who wrote it, you just can't bear to let it go. Because you just, it's like, you know what it is? It's like Stephen King says, it's like killing your children. Because Joni and I would sit there and we would go over and over and over the one-man show and she'd be like, no, we're cutting out this whole section about going to the mall to buy the, you know, the Metallica Black Album. You can't cut out the mall section! It's because when you're the guy who wrote it, everything seems crucial, you know? No, that's the linchpin of the entire piece! You know,
well, didn't she cut like 2/3 of your original script?
Well, I was just saying it was 400 pages long or something when I turned it. It was huge. I just went on and on. It was just this diarrhea that just went on like... Page
you wrote the great American novel. She pared it down to
like
a short story.
The most uninteresting, like navel gazing. Like, how much can you possibly have to say about Poison? You know, it's me, 40 pages into it. And let me tell you another reason why Poison kicks ass. You know, just on and on. And then she cut. You know, she cut like 200 pages out of it. But yeah, if I'd had full control, it would have gone. I mean, I'd still be there. You wouldn't even be back.
You'd have been on stage for like 7 hours under those lights.
We'd still be there right now, and I'd be halfway through the Led Zeppelin musical canon right now. That's it, man. I'd still be back in 1991 with my life story there. So, and so it is with Matrix Reloaded, that they got Final Cut, and as a result, there was no one who could tell them to take anything out. You know, it's like Stephen King novels, who's gotten longer and more tedious and, you know, more lugubrious with each book he writes, because no one can take anything out. So in The Matrix Reloaded, there's this whole sequence, like really early on, it's just this, where there's like some rave, they're all having a big, like, subterranean, grimy dance. They all look like they're in that Christina Aguilera video. And then they all start getting their hump on, and it's like, and you're sitting there shifting awkwardly in your seat because you feel embarrassed for the Wachowskis that they've released this gigantic turd of a scene.
So there are people in like rubber suits humping on the
dance
floor.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, Matt, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, they're not in the rubber suits. They're not in the
cool, like.
But
they're nude and grimy and dirty.
Yeah, they're all in like.
And they're oiled up.
Yeah, well, it's, they're in like, you know, sacks of flour that have head holes and arm holes cut out of them and like.
It's
grooving
terrible.
Out in
it's
this
terrible.
Big, huge cave.
It's terrible.
Yeah, that scene
and
is
then
sort
there's
of
a long, and look,
really
and
bad.
I'm all for seeing Monica Bellucci in that rubber dress.
That's a great dress.
That is one of those things that makes you believe in a benevolent deity above, all right? If you don't believe in God, you look at her in that dress, and you'll believe for a few seconds at least, you know what I mean? But it's like, but that whole scene, there's this whole scene where she's sitting in a restaurant. The rain in Spain, it falls mainly on the plane. And you just sit there looking at your watch going, where are the guns? Get to the, where, and especially if you go into it knowing about that big freeway chase, right? And you're sitting there going, okay, let's get to blowing things up, you know? And you just, it's like, here's the thing about
the chase scene is the movie.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was even sort of let down by that. It was okay.
Okay.
It was okay. But you know what? Here's the sad reality of the Matrix film is that, they are competing against themselves. It's like somebody asked me about the new Andrew W.K., The Wolf, which came out last month, and they said, how's the new Andrew W.K.? And I said, you know, by any other standard, it's like the best album I've heard all year. Compared to his first album, it can't help but be a disappointment, which is not to say that it's not good. It is. It's great. But it has to be kind of a disappointment because his first album was perfect. It was flawless. And you know what? It doesn't matter how great that car chase sequence is, it's not going to be able to measure up to the shoot 'em up scene at the end of the first Matrix. It's not. So, anyway. Let's quickly do the penis watch here, because we've been teasing. We have to do it.
Look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a melting away.
Shoo-be-do-wa.
I take a look at my enormous penis. Everything is going my way. Bow, bow, bow.
Dateline Norristown. We don't know what state this is in. But a 36-year-old Pottsgrove woman will serve probation for showing an artificial penis to three children, chasing them and hitting one girl in the head with it.
Yeah.
Linda Schwartz of the 400 block of Glasgow Street, Pottsgrove, was sentenced to 9 months probation after she pled no contest to summary harassment. According to the arrest affidavit, she allegedly placed an artificial penis through an opening in her shorts, pretending to have a penis, while in the company of two children in a West Grove residence. The defendant went as far to chase the children around with the, can I say dildo?
Sure.
All right. Hitting the girl in the head with it. The two children told an adult about the incident in October, according to court records. Police say the children were traumatized by the act, and one of the children repeatedly mimicked the conduct and had to receive counseling.
Save a prison cell now. How old are the children?
Let's see here. One's a 15-year-old. Doesn't see how old the other one is.
All right.
Okay. During the investigation, police also discovered a 15-year-old girl who told authorities Schultz threw an artificial penis at her and made a lewd comment to her while she was in Schultz's company last year.
So a whole serial offender when it comes to artificial fallacies.
Absolutely.
You know, can I just tell you this? I know somebody, it's a long time ago, but it's one of those stories that they tell you and it just sort of, it's like that. We got that email last week about the open the door and dad wearing mom like a hand puppet. And it's an image that just, it stays with you, you know, despite your best efforts to scrub it out of your cortex. But years ago, I had a friend of mine and she was like, I don't know, she was going into, I don't know what she was doing. She was looking for a pair of socks or something. But she went in and she's like, her mom, she goes into her mom's bedroom to like look for whatever. You know, I need some Midol. I'll go in mom's room. And it's like there on the bed, like mom has left her, marital aid sitting there just like laying on the bed. Obviously, you know, forgot to put it away or neglected to put it away after she used it the last time. And that's a thing you don't want to think about. You don't want to think about your mom and a dildo in the same sentence. What the hell,
Why
man?
Do you feel the need to tell everybody this?
Well, I'm not going to be the only one stuck with that vision in my head.
Yeah, really are.
I'm not going to suffer alone. No.
That's today's penis watch.
There you go, your
Take
penis
a
watch.
Look at my enormous penis.
All right, we'll be back. We got more on the way. Don't go anywhere. Talk to 90 KOTK.
bow.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Bow, bow, bow.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, so we got Katie here who says, Rick, we have called NBC on those occasions when they bumped West Wing for a Law & Order rerun. The switchboard says that Law & Order reruns get higher ratings than West Wing. Go figure. That's Katie in St. John. Well, that's kind of a damning indictment of the American public and their intelligence. What are you going to do? Here's Sarah Dillon with traffic.
Seeing some delays inbound on the Banfield as you head from 28th down to the I-5 merge. Also reports of tire shreds in the traffic lanes inbound on the Sunset. That's right before Sylvan. This report is a service of RE/MAX Associates. Buying or selling a home? Come to RE/MAX for help. No one sells more homes in Portland. Knowledgeable, experienced local agents supported by state-of-the-art technology. Visit pnwrealestate.com. That's pnwrealestate.com. I'm Sarah Dillon. That's your commuter update on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
If you're... Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Coming up next hour, today's top five songs from today in 1978, the day that the Pope was popalized or whatever. Subject line, dildos on the bed. Oh, yeah. Rick, I worked for the Dish Network briefly and was doing an installation in a woman's bedroom. She knew I was going to be there to give her to give her TV in the bedroom, but there was still a dildo on the bed. I was in and out of the room a couple times, and she must have remembered it because it disappeared. That was a good laugh. Thanks. You know, if that's what your dildo sounds like, you've got some serious wiring issues, my friend.
It's the only buzz sound effect
I've got.
It's
the closest thing you could find. Why, the lawnmower sound wasn't there? Yeah, that's. I'd say you've got some grounding problems with your marital aid, if that's the kind of noise it's making. I wish there was a link to it that I could put on the website. There really isn't, though. But again, I do want to thank our friend, the Uncle Steve, for dropping off. We got Marianne's Gilligan Island Cookbook by Dawn Wells, and then we've got one just called White Trash Cooking by Ernest Matthew Mickler. And on the front, it's got what really has to be considered the worst picture ever taken of anybody. It's this woman. Well, you can't see it from over there. It's this terrible woman, and she's got a whole thing. But I'm looking through this, and it's like, you know, I mean, because there's like roast possum and whatnot.
Does it have tuna pinwheels?
That. What is with you and the tuna pinwheels? You know, you should just shut the hell up
about
tuna pinwheels.
Just asking.
You know, look, we don't all come in here with like Bernays sauces. You
does
know,
it have macaroni and cheese and hot dogs?
Yeah, probably. You know, that's not something that I was really, Hey, you know, let's talk. You know what's trashy? You know, I was just thinking about this. I was at Safeway last night. Stupid Safeway bastards. I was just at Safeway last night. I'm sorry. That slipped out there. I was at Safeway and I'm walking down the aisle. I forget what I was even looking for. I was going to buy it. I was going to buy milk or something, but I'm walking down the aisle.
You're going to go buy another romance novel.
Savage
Summer.
What else is by Constance O'Banion? Oh my God, I'm looking at this picture of Constance O'Banion. Yeah, that looks exactly like the kind of woman who writes and reads these. Constance O'Banion, by the way, author of Enchanted Ecstasy, which I bought for $1 at Safeway, lives in San Antonio, Texas. Sure she does. With her husband Jim and her youngest son Jason, she has three married children. When Constance is not writing, she devours history books and ho-hos. She also enjoys writing lyrics and putting them to music. To relax, she plays the guitar and piano, badly. Her zebra historical romances include Dakota Dreams, Ecstasy's Promise, Golden Paradise, Lavender Lies. Wouldn't you be embarrassed to do this for a living? Moontide Embrace, Pirate's Princess, and September Moon. All right. See, now I'm just caught up in this whole other books from Zebra Historical Romance. Let's see. Penelope Neary has written Desert Captive. Kidnapped from her French Foreign Legion escort, indignant Alexandria had every reason to despise her nomad Prince Captor. But as they traveled to his isolated mountain kingdom, she found her hate melting into desire. See, you know,
Hold on, I got better music for that.
And
that's,
women,
that's more suspenseful.
Women wonder why, you know, guys think that they're effed up. You don't see guys reading books about this. You know, you don't see a guy reading a book about how when John went to prison for check kiting, he didn't think he'd enjoy being buggered repeatedly up against the wall. But then, you know, what is this? Every one of these books is the same thing. Every one of these books is about a woman who is traveling or captured or rooming with or taken hostage by a guy against her will, who initially hates him, but then eventually gives up, you know, gives it up to him and finds out that she likes being forcefully taken by a man. You know, and that's true. And that's not me saying this, by the way. I don't want to get any email saying that. I'm saying that that's what these books are all about. It's like that. It's like Luke and Laura on General Hospital. Same thing. Also, that hideous what was that? Castaway? What was that movie with Madonna and the guy last
Swept
year?
Swept Away.
Swept Away. You know, and it's I can't remember whether we played clips from that movie or whether we just talked about it, but there's endless sequences, and it's like he's, of course, rippling with muscle, and he's got his shirt off all the time, and he's walking around bronzed and oiled up in the sun, you know, and Madonna's like, you know, I will never love you, John Henry, you know, whatever, and, you know, you do not need to love me, but you need me to survive, and I will take you now in my, you know, ethnic embrace with, you know, and you are a repressed white woman, so you will eventually fall for my, you know, and of course, by the end of it, she's like, you know, she's like pumping him like he's a, you know, like he's a thing that it's pumped. I don't know. Midnight Captive. And this is also by Penelope Neary. After a poor, ragged girlhood with her gypsy kinfolk. Gypsy kinfolk. No one says kinfolk. Chrysoula. What kind of a name is Chrysoula? It sounds like a greasing agent.
It's a gypsy name.
Oh, I guess because she's got kinfolk that are gypsies. I guess I would have known that. Knew that all she wanted from life was her share of riches. There was only one way for the penniless temptress to earn a cent. Fake interest in a man, drug him, and pocket everything she had. Then the seductress met dashing Esteban, and unquenchable passion seared her soul. All right? Let's read this one. Sea Jewel. Hot-tempered Alaric. These are made-up names. This is somebody just pounding the keyboard randomly with a hand. Hot-tempered Alaric had long planned the humiliation of Freya, the daughter of the most hated foe. He'd make the wench from across the ocean his lowly bedchamber slave. But he never suspected she would become the mistress of his heart. His treasured, yes, sea jewel. All right. How about this one?
That's one of the worst ones.
Love's Hidden Treasure by Carol Finch. Chandra Devereaux. Devereaux is something that no one is named in real life, by the way. You're only named that in books by Margaret Mitchell and bad made-for-lifetime movies. Chandra Devereaux felt her heart throb beneath the stolen map she'd hidden in her
bosoms.
Bodice. When Nolan Elliott swept her out onto the veranda, it was hard to concentrate on her mission with that wily rogue around, tempting her passion. All right. How about this one? Thunder's Tender Touch. Thunder's Tender Touch. Yeah, baby. Refined Piper Malone needed bounty hunter Vince Logan to... I'm not making these up. These are books written by and read by adults. Maybe people you know. People who vote. She thought she could coolly dismiss him after he recovered her swindled inheritance, but she never counted on the hot flood of searing... What is with searing? I thought searing is something you did to turkey.
Hot flood of searing what?
Searing does...
She's on the edge of her seat over here.
The hot flood of searing... desire, she felt whenever he was near. I'm done reading this now. I don't even know what I was talking about. You know the entire reason I got off into enchanted ecstasy? I was just going to make the observation that fruit cocktail is for white trash rednecks. It's the only observation I passed someone in the eye the other day and was thinking about that, you know, fruit cocktail in heavy syrup. is for Hicks. That's who, and you know, and my family too. I'm not removing myself from that
equation. I think you need to get rid of the book. I think it's distracting.
It is distracting me. All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to be back after this week on How Chicks Think with Jolie from the Front Desk. Coming up a week from tomorrow, Rick Emerson Listener Party number 4, Halloween Hangover, featuring performances by The Low, Richard Cheese, and Lounging Against the Machine, and the Tim Riley Factor playing their new hit single, Gene Simmons Took My Girl From Me. We got more on the way. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's all true. 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. This is the Rick Emerson Show. You know. Coming up later on today, we got today's top five. Top five songs for today in 1978. Listening for them. Also, How Chicks Think with Jolie from the Front Desk. So welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend, Big Gay Sarah, who's been, what the hell's been, you've been under a rock or something, you've been gone forever.
Under a rock, working, whatever.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. So what's up in your life, sister?
Well, I was in the Tri-Cities for a week and a half, and your white trash food brought that all back.
It's an exciting... Of course, a week... You know, if the thing is, if you're going to die... Yeah, it's like the guy said yesterday about Joel. If you're going to die, you want to go to Kennewick, because it's a week and a half, but it'll seem like, you know, forever.
Oh, forever.
Yeah.
But I found this cookbook that had, like, how to make molded garden salad with gelatin and lettuce and... It was just wrong.
Anything
only in
molded.
The Tri-Cities could you find it. It was molded like gelatin salad, but with cucumbers and radishes and...
boiled, like really in Kennewick, which is my hometown, the boiled horse hooves that are sort of smashed into a gelatin, that's really an acceptable garnish or dressing for anything.
Oh, and I ended up getting food poisoning from the white trash potluck I went to.
Of course.
It was great.
Well, yeah, because, you know, why? What's a little food poisoning among Catholics, especially if you can't share it with somebody? You go to one of those church potlucks, man, and it's like,
it's
like, you know, one person brings in a bad crock pot of mushy spaghetti, and suddenly everybody's down with their runs for like a month and a half.
That would be it.
It's a bad scene.
That was the potluck.
So you've been missing out on the new 1080 girls we've had in here.
I know, but I've seen the pictures, and then you've got one coming in tomorrow, and I know her, and she's hot.
Okay,
so she's in the blob?
Yeah, so tomorrow... Yeah,
he's not a blob.
We've got this guy Mitch coming in tomorrow, and I don't know his girlfriend. What's his girlfriend's name?
Adrian.
So Mitch and Adrian coming in tomorrow, and so you know her?
I know her, I know her really well,
and
yeah.
Is she cute?
Oh my God, yeah.
Okay, what is her best feature, would you say?
Oh, it's a toss-up between the boobs and the ass.
Yeah, well, that's what I like to hear. That's kind of a no-lose situation there.
No-lose at all. Very cute.
Do I need to give you a private moment to work out your thoughts or something?
No, she was going to come to the last listener party with me, and then she bailed like a dork, and so I'm excited that she's going to be a 1080 girl, because that means I can flirt with her with no problem.
Excellent. So that's what we like to hear. So you're going to be there on the 30th?
I am. Me, the girlfriend, dressing all white trash.
That's beautiful. You know, it's like lesbians coming dressed like white trash to hit on other girls. It's like, could life get any better? The answer is no. Excellent.
No.
Well, you want to be listening tomorrow? Yeah, she'll be here tomorrow. So we'll.
I know. I'm excited.
I'll be sure to pass her.
I'm gonna call her in, and I'll have to call in and give her crap.
Excellent. We'll be waiting. There you go. There's our good friend, Big Gay Sarah. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Jolie from the front desk for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. Sup, sister.
Sup. Do you ever have one of those days where you wake up and your deodorant thing's empty, so you have to use like your girlfriend or boyfriend's?
Actually, sometimes.
That's my day.
If you were to get a good whiff of me sometimes, which I think most people try to avoid under any circumstances, every once in a while, like one out of every 25 or 30 days, you'd note that I smell either like Secret or like Dove. Because it's like I'll either run out or I'll lose. And guys know this. Guys, you know this pain. You're using the deodorant. You got like the speed stick or whatever. And you're, you know, you turn the knob, put it on every day. And then it's like you forget to replenish it. And so then you're doing that thing where it's like the deodorant is basically down at the same level as the plastic. And you're giving yourself chafing when you're like scraping yourself trying to get. And then guys, you've done this too. I know you have. Where you're using again, like let's say the speed stick. And it's like, and it's so low and empty, you can't rub it on anymore. So you just take out the chunk of it with your hands, and you're holding it in your hand and just kind of rubbing it underneath your arm by holding it in your hand like a bar of soap.
And then the balls clump off and fall on the ground, and you step on them and smush it all over the carpet.
I don't have ball clumping issues, but,
well, you know, when it breaks, because there's only a little amount left.
I guess I need to get out more. All right, let's get through the deal. So I know you have a question for us today, and it's about you said it's about virginity, but I don't know what the question is.
Well, basically, we were kind of wondering. The ladies were kind of wondering about the issue.
What ladies are these, and where are they?
Well, you know, coworkers and friends. You know, because we do talk. You know that. About the the stereotype that guys always want to be with virgins. You know, they prefer or they like to do the virgin.
Yeah.
So I guess we're just kind of wondering is that true and is it more with
why do you know some virgins that are looking for men? Because I can probably hook them up. Do you have somebody that you're trying to match up?
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Excellent. Hey, bring them on in here.
But you know, and we were debating on whether it was the younger guys that like it or the older guys that like prefer the virgins.
I can't speak for everybody. I can just say I can only speculate on whether that's true. And I think. I don't know. I think it's a mixed bag. I think if you're a man, and I don't know how it is for women, but I think if you're a man of any sort of sexual experience, In other words, you're not just some neophyte. I mean, if you're a man who's been, you know, you had your fair share of sexual life that you've led. I think it's a mixed bag, because on the one hand, it's like you're sort of Marco Polo, because it's like planting the flag. I claim this land for the King of Spain, you know, and you're just sort of, and you know, you're kind of the first to be there. You know, on the other hand, though, sex probably not going to be any good. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, if you wait, God forbid it's two virgins, you know, because then the sex is just going to be terrible, obviously. But then again, on the third hand, you know, the sex isn't going to be any good, but for sex to be good for a guy, it's so easy for sex to be good for a guy. You know, it's pretty hard for a guy, I think, to have bad sex. I can't really imagine how that would be possible. Mm-hmm. I think the only bad sex you have when you're a guy is if, you know... No, I've got nothing. I've got nothing there, actually. There's just no way. I mean, unless her dad comes home and points a gun at you, then I guess it's gone pretty badly.
Yeah.
But it's pretty impossible for a guy to have good sex, or to have bad sex, you know? It pretty much is always good. So, I mean, but I don't think guys have a fetish for it the way that girls think we do. Because I think if you're a guy, you pretty much want a girl that, you know, is pretty open to doing different things. And I think virgins are going to be kind of repressed in that fashion.
So you just want to go stick it to the virgin and then flee and just know that you were the one that deflowered her.
Well, that's making it sound rather blunt. And
that's pretty much the way you guys are.
Stripping it of all its romantic subtext.
Right. It can't be romantic.
All right, we'll be back.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.